on this Monday. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Currently, as we know it, no staff or inmates in Wisconsin have tested positive for COVID-19, but criminal justice advocates are still concerned about a potential outbreak. Our prisons house more than 23,000 inmates. The Department of Corrections announced Friday that state prison visits are temporarily suspended due to the spread of COVID-19. So do you work in corrections? What questions do you have about the immediate prevention steps around COVID-19? What suggestions do you have to help keep state prisons safe? We're at 800-642-1234. Kevin Carr is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Secretary Carr, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning, Kate, and good morning to all your listeners. Thanks for having me again.
So we heard from Health Secretary Andrea Palm recently told lawmakers that you discussed preparations for an outbreak of COVID-19 as a state prison. What is your department doing right now to prevent an outbreak at one of your prisons?
Well, I just want to let you and your listeners know that the Department of Corrections has had pandemic plans for many, many years. We have a lot of past experience preparing for pandemic outbreaks, such as the one in 2005, which was the avian flu, and then 2009, we prepared for the swine flu epidemic. And so weeks ago, our staff took our pandemic plans, started reviewing them and updating them in preparation for this type of an event. There's a number of things that we have done to react to the situation and being proactive. We've stood up our emergency operations center last Friday to coordinate activities and communication throughout our agency. We have a multidisciplinary work group that meets daily, and then a separate senior executive leadership group that meets daily to formulate strategy and discuss updates throughout the agency. And then, of course, we're coordinating daily with other state agencies and the governor's office for communication and coordination of response and resources.
So there is a lot of communication going on, but specifically, what is in your pandemic plan and what goes into action at this point?
Well, we enhance the level of communication that occurs between leadership and our staff and the adults in our care. We provide education to those in our care regarding how they can participate in the effort to help keep themselves healthy and safe from the virus, and practicing all of the activities that we all, I think, should know by now as far as hand washing, social distancing, covering your cough, and those types of things. We've enhanced our site cleaning so that instead of cleaning and disinfecting common areas just once a day, we've increased that to more than once a day. We do infection monitoring of all of our adults in custody so that we can try to monitor what's going on and stay on top of the situation. We do equipment monitoring. There are a number of other things that I could mention if you wish.
Well, can you just bring some more clarity to clamping down on visits and who can visit, who can't?
At this time, all visiting to our facilities is strictly limited to professional visits only. That would be lawyers and other social workers or people that have an absolute need to visit one of our adults in custody. Now, we're going to try to provide those visits on a non-contact basis initially, and then we're also ramping up our ability to provide not only professional visits but family visits by utilization of video and in increasing the number of telephone calls that people can make from our facilities.
When do you anticipate that inmates and their families will be provided those additional opportunities to connect over the phone or in video?
Well, over the phone, that's something that we're working out right now. Our telephone provider has offered to increase the number of free phone calls that our adults in custody can have. We're working out that arrangement with them as we speak, so I would anticipate that that's going to happen within the next few days. And then the video conferencing thing, I can't really give you a time frame on that because, you know, there's a lot of technology involved in that and acquiring the technology to actually put it in place. For 24,000 people is a lot, you know, is quite an undertaking. But that's our goal, because if this pandemic and the situation that we're in extends, you know, as long as many of the experts predict that it will, we want to be able to provide those in our care with the most opportunities to stay connected to their families as we can.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about our state's prisons with Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr. You can join in. What do you want to know about how our prison system is preparing for COVID-19? What do you think of proposals that would increase the prison population through longer sentences? Are you a corrections employee? What challenges do you face in your job right now? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Carr, you've said the governor plans to release a plan addressing crimeless revocations this spring. How could the administration hope to reduce how often people on community supervision are sent back to prison for technical violations?
You know, there's a couple of ways that you can approach that. And one of the ways that we're looking at is we're taking a real good hard look at the current set of rules that those on supervision are required to adhere to. And we anticipate that there may be some modification in that area. Another approach that you can, and if you do that, that reduces the number of technical violations that potentially could occur. Another approach is to look at the category of offenders as far as nonviolent misdemeanors versus those accused of assaultive behaviors. And there's a lot of emphasis on trying to gain some movement in that direction as far as whether or not those folks need to be incarcerated at all.
And revoking parole or probation and sending a person back to jail for violating the terms of release, that makes up a huge amount of your all new prison admissions. Is that right?
It makes up a significant portion of our new admissions to prison. That's correct, Kate.
How do you want to see that come down? What type of legislation could make an impact there?
Well, you know, as far as crimeless revocations goes, obviously anything that we do from a policy level that could be codified in the law would be easier to not change by the next administration or future administrations that come into the governor's office. So obviously, anything that we do that has a legislative component to it, we would love to see the support of the legislature endorsing criminal justice reform efforts that are going to actually lower our population in the long run. We didn't get in this situation overnight, Kate. We're not going to get out of it overnight either. It's going to take some time to reduce our population to the levels that the governor and I would like to see at some point in the future.
All right. Well, we're going to circle back now to COVID-19, bringing in Alyssa in La Crosse. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi. I just have two quick questions. With this being an ever-changing or rapidly changing situation, how exactly are the staff updating their prison population daily? And then also, what would quarantine versus isolation look like as to someone in a prison population? You know, is it going to be the 23-hour isolation, or what are we looking at?
No. As to your first question, we're communicating with our staff and the folks in custody almost daily. As we get information from the Department of Health Services or the governor's office or the CDC, we put up a new website, and I encourage everybody to go to it. It's our website that is our public website. There is a COVID-19 tab right on the front page. If you go to that page, you will see all kinds of updates that we are posting as we receive them, so that the families and the general public can be well informed of what we're doing. And we're also providing that information to those in custody and our staff. Then you talked about quarantining. As soon as a individual starts to exhibit symptoms of COVID-19, that person will, be isolated and then monitored for their symptoms. And a medical determination would be made as to whether the condition of the individual warrants external treatment and testing. Now, we would isolate that person from the other folks in their normal housing unit so that, the risk of contamination is reduced.
We're talking with Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr about recent developments at our state's prisons. Wisconsin locked up more than 23,000 people in 2018. That number is expected to surpass 24,000 by the end of next year. What questions or thoughts do you have about state funding levels for the Department of Corrections? What questions do you have about monitoring COVID-19 in the corrections system? Be part of this 800-642-1234 email ideas at WPR.org. Back for more in a moment with Secretary Carr right here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Over the past couple decades, the Wisconsin prison population has ballooned. African Americans are also disproportionately placed under supervision and reincarcerated for supervision violations, according to DOC, the Department of Corrections. This month, wardens have been moved around and reassigned at six prisons, including Lincoln Hills. Are you a corrections employee? What challenges do you face in your job? Join in 800-642-1234. Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Charlie joining us from Beaver Dam. Hi, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
So, I wrote someone up in management, actually two people, and now I'm being retaliated against. I can prove that I'm being retaliated against. Why is it so complex and convoluted to get any action?
So within the corrections department, Secretary Carr, how does it handle retaliation and the climate for employees?
Well, I would like to know a lot more detail about Charlie's situation, because obviously with the limited information that he's provided, it's hard for me to comment on his situation. But we have no tolerance. I personally have no tolerance for retaliation or discrimination concerning any of our staff and co-workers here at the Department of Corrections. You may not realize this, but I will tell you that under our administration, we just stood up and created an internal affairs unit that is something that is going to improve how long it takes for us to do investigations. It's specifically designed to deal with serious acts of misconduct by supervisors and staff. So we do have a very robust personnel system where people can file complaints of discrimination or retaliation, and they will be investigated. So, Charlie, if you have an issue, please follow the process, and I can assure you that the matter will be thoroughly investigated and a conclusion reached.
Charlie, thanks. Let's bring in Daryl now in Couderay. Daryl, hi.
Hi. Thanks for the program. Thanks for Mr. Carr being there. My question is, since your population is in a controlled environment, I was wondering if testing your population has begun yet, and if not, when will testing begin?
Well, we're subject to the same limitations regarding testing that the rest of the state is, you know, especially those who are not in our custody at this time. And most of the testing is controlled by medical professionals and local health departments. So as I stated earlier on the show, we'll monitor an individual in our care, and if they exhibit the symptoms consistent with COVID-19, a medical professional will make the decision as to whether additional testing or external treatment needs to occur. I would like to assure the listening public out there and the loved ones of those of the folks that we care for in custody that we have 24/7 medical care that monitors the health conditions of the folks that we care for. And that's, you know, just a little bit more than most people do have at home.
We're talking about Wisconsin State Prisons, the setup to COVID-19 with Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr. Still time for you at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Rick now in Eau Claire. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me today.
Sure.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. My question is, on the state level of corrections, say I know I have a family member that's on Huber Law. I don't know what the protocol is for shutting down the jails or the county level, but what would be done with the folks that are allowed to go out to work every day and return to the jail?
It's a great question, Rick, because, you know, one of the things that we did on Friday was we started to notify all of the employers of the folks that we have on work release to inform them that you know, the potential existed that we would discontinue allowing folks to report to work based on the conditions that are present at our facilities and what's happening in the state. What we can afford to do is have folks from the external environment introduce the virus to our facilities, which is a controlled environment, because the folks that we have in custody are very vulnerable for a number of reasons, whether it's because of compromised health, age, and the inability for them to actually segregate themselves from the other folks in the facility. So we're very, very careful about that, and we want to use the utmost caution in order to protect the people that we care for.
Rick, thanks. Let's bring in Mike now in Stoughton with a question. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, good morning. Say, I haven't listened to the entire interview, but I wondered, my first question is, I've got, where I work, we have some gentlemen from one of the correctional institutions that worked with us, and I just wondered how, I worried about them being exposed to us. You know, that one way or another, somebody's going to get harmed here. Either the guys are going to get harmed or they're going to bring something into our facility that's going to harm us. I'm sure that this is a consideration, but I just wanted to see if you could expand on that. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Secretary Carr.
Hi.
Yeah,
just as I told the previous caller, we're very much aware of that situation, and we're going to make that decision on a case-by-case basis as soon as we think that it's appropriate to discontinuing our folks going out to work every day. But what we wanted to do was give the employers a little bit of a heads up because, you know, if our workers are providing critical manpower to their operations. It would just be like if you were to walk in and tell your employer you're not coming to work for the next 6 weeks tomorrow. We wanted to give them an opportunity to plan for their absence and at least have a heads up as to what was going on.
We've talked before about the department's challenges to recruit and retain corrections workers in this economy. Is that continuing to be problematic for you?
It still is. Up until this recent event concerning COVID-19, the economy obviously was very good. The unemployment rate is low. And when those two factors come into play, jobs like working at the Department of Corrections aren't as attractive to the general public when you can make more money doing something that's less dangerous. But I think we have strategies in place to try to address our vacancy issue, and hopefully as we move forward, we've made some progress as far as wages go, but we just have not made enough. And as I said earlier regarding our population, we didn't get in the situation we're in as it pertains to wages overnight, and we're not going to get out of them. We've probably made up a lot of ground based on the compensation plan that was approved by the governor in the last budget, but we have a new budget coming up in the next biennium where I hope we can make more progress so that we can be more competitive with the private sector as it relates to the attractiveness of working for the Department of Corrections.
Secretary Carr, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you again.
Kevin Carr is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. He was appointed by Governor Evers after the 2018 elections and later confirmed by the state Senate in October of 2019. Just ahead, we learn how a doctor's offices are handling COVID-19. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report. You're listening to the Ideas Network.